produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Straightway took his journey. Verse 16 says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 others. But he that received 1 went and did in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24 says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid. Everybody say, I was afraid.
I was afraid.
And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges. That's the least you could have done. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our subject matter this morning is risky business. Everybody say risky business. We're still dealing with the theme of our year, that being do it now and do it big. Everybody say that with me. What is it?
Do it now
and
do it big.
We want to talk about the do it big half of our theme of risky business that we've established in four, heretofore these messages we talked about, that God's plan is always big. And our efforts must also accompany God's bigness with big efforts, even on our own part. Now, I want you to understand from the onset, this is not a self-improvement course. This is not a Tony Robbins type seminar, as in some churches where you are learning how to go up a new higher step in life. That's not the aim of this at all. We're not just, this is not a dissertation on moralism. This is not a dissertation on best practices. No, but this is the Lord Jesus. He is preaching and disseminating eternal truth, and it's pertaining to the kingdom of God. Or some would say the kingdom of, Matthew would say the kingdom of heaven. Jesus employs his most often means of communicating. He's adopted this means again, and he's communicating this truth through a parable. This is a parabolic saying. A parable is only a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. And in this account, Jesus is giving us a parable that's rather apocalyptic. Apocalyptic only means it's revealing. And this account also employs Jesus' most often talked about subject. And it may be to some of you all's and some person's chagrin, and to even maybe to your surprise. But there was no more subject, there was not another subject in which Jesus did not preach more often other than the subject of money. Jesus preached about money. And that was his most often subject. Money. Not only money, but also it refers to hell. So it has, this text has eschatological implications and overtures. And somebody say eschatology. Eschatology is just a $2 word which means the end, concerning end time, the end, how things culminate. So this is an eschatological text as well. It's an apocalyptic and it's eschatological as well. Talking about the end times and Jesus revealing the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Well, Luke chapter 16, and just put it down and make sure I'm preaching what's right. You'll see Luke chapter 16, verses 11 through 12. This is an overarching principle. Spiritual principle that Jesus says even about money and spiritual matters. And that text talks about that if a man will not take care of the filthy mammon or money, if a man will be irresponsible with his money, he will also be irresponsible with spiritual matters. How a man conducts his personal business regarding his money is an example of how he will even administer spiritual things. So I want you to see something here. I'm moving as quickly as I can, but I want to make sure you have the wherewithal where we're coming from and the substratum of our argument today. I want you to hear this. This is a rather familiar parable. This parable of the talents. But it's different than the parable that Jesus just spoke of in Matthew chapter 13, which was the parable of the soil, the seed, and the sower. It's a different type of parable there, because Jesus, in that second parable, which I just mentioned, the soil, the seed, and the sower, that parable in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the key. He gives the understanding. He explains what that parable means, but he doesn't take the time to explain the parable of the talents, because it seems like it doesn't need explanation, because it's straightforward. And the poignancy and the profundity of his teaching was unmistakable when he preached from in that Matthew Gospel Matthew 25 on the talents, the parable of the talents. Verse 13, where we began reading, is that hinge upon which the rest of the chapter really hinges on. It turns at verse number 13. Because earlier there is another parable in that same chapter where Jesus talks about 10 virgins who were, 5 were wise, 5 were unwise. And the 5 wise virgins who were looking and anticipating for the bridegroom to come, the 5 wise ones, they had their lamps trimmed and burning bright. But the foolish 5 virgins, they ran out of oil just before the bridegroom came. The story says that Jesus gave the story and he said that the 5 foolish virgins told the 5 wise virgins, give us some of your oil. And the 5 wise virgins said, no, you should have kept up with your own oil. And since you don't have any, you need to go buy some. And so they left to go buy some, and the bridegroom came in. And the bridegroom came in and took them into the hall and shut the door. And when those 5 foolish virgins, everybody say 5 foolish virgins. When those 5, and we got some, the 5 foolish virgins, when they came and knocked on the door, when they came and knocked on the door to get into the wedding feast, the master didn't open the door. He said, it's too late. And we see that in verse number 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is a strong admonition. He's telling us through this parable, the first parable, that we should be diligent and assiduous. We should be conscientious when it comes to the things of God, because if in fact we are not about our Father's business when it's time to reckon with the Master, if you're not ready, you won't have an opportunity to get ready. Look at somebody and say, you got to stay ready. You can't get ready, you got to stay ready. That's what the 5 wise virgins, they stayed ready. Chapter 25, in this second parable, we see, and it swings on this verse 13, which we began reading, see that Jesus now tells another parable. But it's also about the same thing, to be diligent, to be assiduous, to be conscientious, to be aware. Don't let the Lord catch you with your work undone. That's the bottom line of that parable and where this parable is now leading us to. Luke chapter 16 again, verse number 8, the scripture says this very cryptic portion of the scripture. Jesus says, this is what Jesus said, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 16, which is associated to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said those persons who take care of business in a carnal manner, in worldly things, they are more fastidious. They are more aware. They are more sagacious than those persons who take care of eternal matters. If a man who does good business, if he profits, he only profits in this life. It's only but temporary. You can only be wealthy. You can't carry nothing with you. There's no such thing. You've never seen a hearse that also been behind it. You'll find a U-Haul. You won't find it anywhere. Because you cannot take what you accumulate in this life. You cannot take it with you. And our life consists of more than the things in which we accumulate. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care how nice your closet is. I don't care how many shoes you got. How many weeds you got. It makes no difference. After a while, It's either going to leave you or you're going to leave this. Amen. And so this is where we need to look at what Jesus is saying in this text. Jesus says, put it down and make sure I'm preaching what's right in 1 Corinthians. Well, the Apostle Paul says, rather, the text of Scripture say, sacred text says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul, he really admonishes people, and particularly men. He says, watch ye. Stand fast. Be strong in the faith. Quit ye like men and be courageous or be strong. He's saying, act like a man. Take care of your business like a man. Handle your business and stand on business like a man. Amen. And God and Jesus and the Apostle Paul and the Word of God tells us if we take care of carnal matters, how much the more should we take care of eternal matters? Because eternity is a whole lot longer than we'll ever spend here. Amen. Somebody. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Then he says again in another place, he tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, so first I want you to do business as a man. He says, or an adult, and someone who's mature, that's what it means. As a man or a grown woman, don't act like you're a child. Don't act like you're a baby. Don't act like you got to cry about anything. Act like you can't take nothing, like you can't carry no burden. What's wrong with you? And let grown folk get up and go to work. Even when you don't feel like it, because you're grown. You got your own house with your own field. You're grown. And if you want to keep your house, you better go to work. Amen, somebody. So do business as a mature person. That's the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. But the scriptures also give witness to don't be slothful. Don't be slothful. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says it. Don't be slothful in business, but rather be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ought to have zeal when it comes to the things of God. Amen. We shouldn't be slothful. We shouldn't be slothful. We shouldn't be about to go to sleep in church. I'm almost laying down on a pew almost. I mean, all my life is like, there's a couch. This ain't no couch. Look at somebody say, this ain't no couch. Amen. Don't be slothful. Do business as a man, as a mature person. But then also the scriptures, the balance of the witness of the scriptures is that we are not to be lazy. Don't be lazy. Come on here, talk to me somebody. The balance of the Proverbs talks about laziness and what comes of laziness. The Proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 6, he says, take note, if you would, of the ant. Look at the ant, who doesn't even have a supervisor. He doesn't have somebody over them. He doesn't have a captain. He doesn't have an overseer. And yet, the ant, she'll have meat in the summer. And she'll have food in the harvest. Nobody had to tell her. She just knows intuitively. He says, take note of the ant. The ant is always carrying something. Always about to go get something. Always digging for something. The ant is always working, and the ant will always have food to eat. Why? Because it's not lazy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a strong word. It's a word that I think that we need this morning. That we ought to exert as believers, as Ardmore Terrace Baptist Church, as individuals. We are to employ ingenuity. We ought to employ daring. We ought to be known for being audacious and enterprising. We ought to be industrious and prudent. We ought to demonstrate acumen and dexterity. We ought to be people that show capacity and sagacity. We ought to have purpose scarcity and acuity in when we're doing business. Amen. Even in our church, we're a small church. Uh-huh. But we don't do business like we're a small church. When we count money, we count the money like we're taking up, you know, $100,000 a week. We ain't nowhere near that, you know that. But whatever we take up, we act like. We handle business. We pay our taxes. We stay on top of what people give, and we want to give a good account and a good record for your purposes and ours as well. We ain't writing receipts on brown paper bags with holes in it. Now, we ain't doing that kind of stuff. We're taking care of business. We might not have a lot of business, but we're handling business. And that's the only way to do it. If you're going to do it, we got to do it right. We got to have ingenuity. We got to have sagacity. We got to have acumen as we demonstrate that we are people of business, and we should be, because we work for the King. Now I'm going to tell you, let me say this, if I can just throw this in for free. Money is not the root of all evil. I'm going to say it again. Money is not the root of all evil. The text says the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Everybody say the love of money. Now I'm going to tell you something though. It's possible for you to love money and not have it. Everybody who got it might not be a lover of money. Don't you know it's some poor folk that love money? They ain't got none, but they love money. It's possible not to have money and still love it. It's possible to have money and not love it. But it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Well, here is the text. That's what we'll see here. Here is the text. We are to conduct business as we are conducting it as unto the Lord, not unto men. We are to conduct business that way. Now here, look at you. One of the first things that this text teaches us, as I hurry to a close, this text teaches us that the master has his servants to give an account of all his goods. First thing I want you to recognize is this. Everything from this parable, we'll see, everything that those servants had came from the master. Those five talents were his. The servants themselves were his. All I'm trying to say is, everything you got belongs to God. We don't own anything. We're just stewards. We might drive it, we might wear it, yes. We might even own it, all these other things. But whatever we have, it belongs. Everybody say belongs. It belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. First thing, that's the first thing that this parable will show us. But I want to see, as I hurry, I want you to see something else. You'll see it in verses number 20 through 23. May I read it again in your hearing to be sure we're preaching what's right? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received how many talents? 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord says unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now here it is. First thing you want to see, another thing you want to see is this. God, matter of fact, Brother Corey said this morning. God gives every person according to their several ability. God doesn't bless everybody the same way. He doesn't give everybody the same ability. I might have a 2-talent life, which is fine, because that's what God gave me.
but I got to use it. You may have a fire type of life. Yours might be more than mine, or you might be a one type of person. But whatever it is, you've got to be sure that you don't waste it. Now, I want you to see that there is also reward in proportion to their production. There is reward as in proportion with or to their production. They got rewarded because they made more off of what they had. Y'all know what the songwriter said years ago? The songwriter said, this is one of the gospel songs, before I take it back, I'll add more to it. God has been good to me. That's one of the things that we ought to live by. Before I give this back to the Lord, I need to add something to it. If he gave it to me, I ought not give it back the same way. And you'll see that in the next portion here. Because here it is. You'll see in verses 24 and 25, look what it says here, if you would, and I'm finishing. Then he which had received the one talent. Everybody say one talent. This one talent man came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. You were reaping where you had not sown. And you got a reputation for gathering where thou hast not strewed. Now, this one talent man, he allowed himself to talk himself into something almost backwards, because look what he says. He says, and I was afraid. If you're going to do business for God, listen to me, men, and our entire church, but if we're going to do business for God, you can't be scared.
Amen.
Y'all know what they, you know what they say, don't you? Scared money don't make money. If you scared to put it out, don't expect nothing to come in. This is, everybody say, risky business.
Risky business.
He says, if you see it right there in verse 25, and I was afraid. I'm finishing now. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thine that is thine. Now I want you to see something very important here. This man allowed the possibility of losing what he had to keep him from using what he had. Now listen, this man, he didn't lose the money. He didn't throw away the money. He just kept the money. And he didn't put it out to come back and receive more from it. This is a heavenly principle. And it all stemmed from him being afraid. Afraid. Oh, brothers and sisters, I wish I could preach that for a minute. Fear will paralyze us. As individual people, as a church, afraid that we might lose some money, and we won't do this or that because we hold on every little dime we got. And sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes you hold up progress because you won't take a risk. Unwilling to take a risk. Fear will paralyze us in our personal lives. Well, you know, somebody told me this week. Well, you know, I'm going to wait until, you know, it gets a little warm. And I'm gonna be ready to go once the weather changes.
Okay.
When the weather changes, well, you know it's a little too hot now, so I'm gonna wait till it cool down. Okay. Cool down. But you know that it's cooling down. But I need to hold on right quick because it's coming up to Christmas. I gotta get ready for Christmas. Okay. Well, after Christmas, see, I gotta start the new year, and I wanna be sure I got my stuff together. Okay. Okay, but this is nice after New Year. But you know, let me wait until I get my tax return. Hold on, it's coming in a few weeks. They say, you know, it's a whole other year and we ain't done nothing. And we still waiting out of, everybody say fear.
Fear.
Still waiting out of fear. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus said in Revelation, but this guy makes sure I'm preaching what's right. Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 through 8. Jesus says this. Listen, he that overcometh, listen to this, Brother Kent. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh, everybody say overcometh. He that overcometh. I mean, with every obstacle, with every trial, with every difficulty, with everything that's a hindrance to him that overcometh, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse number 8 begins by saying, but the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And he begins this list that's a terrible list to be on. It is the ones who are fearful. You can't be fearful and accomplish for God. You can't be fearful. You cannot be afraid. You cannot be scared. No, there's no way to live for the believer. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, I'm giving you enough scriptures here, and I'm getting ready to close. And fear not them. This is what he says about fear. Because either you're going to fear God or you're going to fear something. But Jesus says, do it like this. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a person you ought to fear, and the strange thing about it is that when you fear God, you won't fear nobody else. When you fear God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we start off at. Those who want to be blessed, the Bible says, I'll bless the man that trembleth at my word. Oh, we need a fear to come upon us, but it ought to be the right place fear, and that fear always supposed to be toward God. And when we don't fear God, we'll fear everybody, but when we fear God, we won't fear anybody else. Amen, somebody. Just remind me of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they stood up to the great king of that day, Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says that they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that they would not bow because they were not afraid. And they said, I don't know what my God will do, but I do know this, he's able. I don't know if he's gonna save me out of the fire, I don't know, but he's able. And because of their fear toward God, they didn't fear man.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that the Lord will embolden our hearts so that we won't be fearful. Oh, thank God for the spirit of boldness that will come upon us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. Moses tells the people of Israel before they get ready to go into Canaan land, he says this, these are his final instructions to the nation. He's getting ready to go off the scene. He says, I'm 120 years, and now it's time for me. I won't be able to go in with you. But he says, do this, be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Oh, I wish you would help me this morning. I wish you could touch everybody you can reach that's near you and tell them, fear not, fear not, fear not. Everybody you can reach and tell them, fear not. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, the Canaanites. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's with us. And because he's with us, in the name of Jesus. As they were preparing to go over, and Moses looked, and he looked from the mountaintop and looked into the promised land, Joshua told them in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he said, listen, saints, be strong and of good courage. Joshua, he wasn't telling them, God was telling Joshua. God was telling Joshua this. And God is telling us this. As a small church, and you, even though your life might be ragged, I'm telling you something. He said, be strong. And be of good courage. For unto this people, God tells Joshua, thou shalt divide for an inheritance. And you'll divide the inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. But then he tells them again in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He says, so that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. When you're strong in the Lord, not just being strong on your own, not just being macho, not just being stiff-necked, not just being hard-hearted, not just being reticent, but you're strong in the Lord, and you're strong in the power of His might. You're following His dictates. You're following His will. You're following His commands. You want to be holy. You want to be righteous. You want to be sanctified. You want to be used by God. And when God does that, you don't have to be afraid of nobody. Even if they take your life, you still live. When you're on this side, you can't lose. Jesus says, if a man die, he shall live again. Why? Because I am the resurrection. Come on, somebody. I am the life. If you believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You can't even die if you're in Christ. That's why we're going to celebrate Sister Tosha in a few days. She ain't, look at somebody and say, she ain't dead. I can't hear nobody now say, she ain't dead. She's alive because her faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. My daddy ain't dead. My mama ain't dead. My sister ain't dead. My son ain't dead. They are alive. Hallelujah. If you've got somebody that died in the Lord, they are alive even right now. Praise be to His name. Called His name just a little while ago, Brother Holmes. He ain't dead. He up there saying right now what the Bible say. He's saying it right now. I'm telling you, he's not dead. Thank you, Jesus. Well, what am I trying to tell you here? And I'm finishing now. Okay. And this tells me, this whole text tells me this. It takes courage. It takes bravery to follow God. You can't do it being lazy. You can't do it being sorry. You can't do it being weak. It takes courage. It takes bravery to follow God. Following God requires faith. Following God, listen, somebody, I don't want you to ever get misunderstand. Following the Lord Jesus Christ is hard. Everybody can't do it. And everybody won't do it. But if you're in the Lord Jesus, he will give you strength to do it. I can't hear nobody. When you think your strength is about to wear out, that's when God will step in. Ought to have a witness here. Somebody know what I'm talking about. When you cried your last tear and just knew that you were ready to go to oblivion, won't God pick you up? When you think like the whole world is just going black and you're looking into a thousand midnights, God will give you a light at the end of the tunnel